Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's a famous Bible passage. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I think I can explain what faith is. Faith is taking God at His word. Faith is trusting that God is working in you and your life, providing for you, strengthening you, even though you can't see Him. That's faith. And I believe that I can understand what love means too, that God cares for us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And because He's given all of Himself to us, we are supposed to then give all of ourselves to others. We love because Christ loved us first. So I can kind of grasp what faith is, I can kind of grasp what love is, but I've struggled a lot with how to define what hope is and what really makes it different than the other two. In my Bible, there's a short little explanation in the study notes about from our passage for 1 Peter today, and it says this: in the Bible, hope is not wishful thinking, but a firm conviction, much like faith, that is directed toward the future. Now, that's kind of helpful, actually. Faith is about trusting God right now, while hope is faith that of what God will do in the future. I kind of like that. That makes sense. Using today's passage from 1 Peter chapter 1 as our outline, I intend on helping you to see what hope means for your life and how to nourish a living hope in the promises of God, even when times are difficult. So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So right off the bat, you hear it. We have been given a living hope. But how do we receive this living hope? Through a new birth, it says. What is that? What's a new birth? Well, we're going to have to use our Bible to figure that one out. Can you think of any verses that have to do with the concept of a new birth? So why don't you think about it? You might know one or two. Well, the two that popped into my head that might be able to help us. The first, I thought of a couple. The first is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And the second is from Paul's letter to Titus. First, we're going to start in the third chapter of John. Jesus was talking to a man named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. And it says, he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs that you're doing if God were not with him." And in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." There we have our first reference to the idea that there's something else besides just one birth in our lifetimes. In order to recognize the kingdom of God, there has to be a new birth. You must be born again, Jesus says. In fact, I think it's fair to say that Jesus is almost complimenting Nicodemus here, saying in essence, the fact that you can see that I've come from God and recognize that these are supernatural things happening right now shows that God has given you the eyes to see them. You're already experiencing just a part of what the new birth means. And Jesus continues by saying, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit." Now we're going to have to look at Titus chapter 3. That was the second reference or second place in the Bible where I thought it talked about this idea. Chapter 3 says, "Jesus saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." Once again, we have some type of washing, pouring out, and God's Holy Spirit as well, connected to a rebirth. And because of this new birth, the passage says that we're given hope of eternal life. But what is this new birth with water and with the Spirit that these passages are talking about? What does that look like? Well, Christians commonly believe that we receive this new birth in baptism. And luckily, thankfully, we had one this morning. You saw one. Romans chapter 6 says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." There it is again. A new life. A new birth. And how is it received? Through baptism into Christ Jesus. The promises of baptism mean an end to the old you, but it's characterized by sin and death. And in those waters, you're born again into a new life with Jesus. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So, this takes us back to 1 Peter, where we started. Where we first heard the word resurrection today. It said, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And if you remember in Titus, we read, "Having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." The new birth we receive in baptism gives us the hope of resurrection and eternal life. The new birth we receive, in Romans 6, it says as much. It says, "Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so that we too may live a new life." Okay, it's all connected. Our hope is in a specific future event that we can be sure that we will experience one day, even though we die. That we're going to live again, just like Jesus lived again, even though he died on the cross. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and will live," will live even though he dies, "and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And what will that look like? Well, for a long time, my grandpa Brewers didn't believe in Jesus. This was just brought up recently around Thanksgiving. He was a doctor, a man of science. So he figured that everyone would just end up decomposing in a grave. That was what he was looking forward to. That was his hope. He eventually realized that if he put his faith in Jesus, that meant he could hope in something much more wonderful. A new life with Grandma, with his children, and with me. No, most importantly, with Jesus. With Jesus. Buddhists and Hindus, they believe in a different thing at the end as well. They believe in something called nirvana, okay? Which is both the liberation from suffering and the freedom from the cycle of birth and rebirth that they believe in called reincarnation. But their hope is, in essence, nothingness. Zero is what actually they believe. Like, it's a zero, nothing. Again, our hope as Christians is much different than this. We believe that heaven is being in a relationship, actually, being in a relationship with Jesus forever. Not just a place of happiness or a place of being reunited with our loved ones, but the hope of seeing the God who loves us face to face. Hope is faith in a future event, specifically the resurrection of the dead. And we receive this hope through trusting in God's power to give us new life through baptism. However, there's one specific adjective that matters a lot in the book of 1 Peter. We are told that this is a living hope. What does that mean? I believe that this descriptive word, living, is really what the rest of the book of 1 Peter is talking about. Not just any old hope, but a living hope. In the year 337, Emperor Constantine was baptized on his deathbed. He wanted to wait until the very end so he didn't have a chance to sin in between his baptism and death, okay? He had hope in the resurrection of the dead to eternal life, but His experience is much different than most Christians, because we are given this hope, and then we have to live with it, even in the midst of struggles and doubts and temptations and suffering and persecution. Constantine never had to live with his hope. Notice how 1 Peter says that God has given us a new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Why does he say that? Well, because over time, things start to fall apart. Many types of food are perishable. They spoil due to heat or due to moisture or contact with oxygen. Even the most beautiful pieces of art start to fade away. Our memories, our wonderful memories, they fade away in time. But Peter says our hope, our inheritance is different. Says this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter knows that to live with this hope, the hope in God's promises, it's difficult. So God promises us he's going to protect us, he's going to shield us, and today our hope is finally revealed. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He's saying that somehow the trials we experience, that we live through, help to refine and strengthen our hope in God. It's a living faith. And therefore, while often under attack during this journey on earth, it's those difficulties that make us stronger and our faith in God more pure. And then he compares our faith to gold, okay? Our faith is both valuable like gold is, but it also goes through great stress, just like gold does to become purified. The gold rings that you might wear if you're married, they seem beautiful right now, but originally they were just rocks with gold in it, right? And they had to be refined in the fire, put under stress to melt that gold out, to strain out all the impurities. And without the stress of that heat, that gold would not shine the way it does now. Peter is saying that the trials we experience in our life help to strengthen our hope in a living God who walks with us through the difficulties. A living hope should not expect to have a life free from doubts or free from worries or free from trials. On the contrary, Jesus makes a promise in John 16, in this world you will have trouble, he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So as we see God overcome these obstacles in our life, on our behalf, then our faith in him and our hope in his promises become stronger and stronger as we are refined in the fire of everyday trials and temptations. Finally, in the book of James, he even says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So Peter ends with this final statement. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter is making one last connection between our faith in an invisible God and our living hope that rests on events that we cannot yet see as of yet. This reminds me of one last passage in Romans chapter 8. For in this hope you were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he has already, or for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Faith, I think, can sometimes feel like you're walking through darkness and holding on to Jesus for dear life. But hope is walking through the darkness and seeing that light at the end of the tunnel that you can walk toward. Like, we cannot see the future fully, But we know, we believe, we hope that there is something much better ahead. And it's worth living through whatever difficulty that you're going through at the time. Because when you have been baptized, you are given that hope through water and God's Holy Spirit. And this hope is more than wishful thinking, but faith in the future that God has promised you. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you experience this living hope that no matter what trials and difficulties life puts in your way, this hope will give you the strength and the perseverance, and yes, even the joy to keep going, because you know what is waiting for you and that it's worth it to wait patiently for it. Amen.